Tell me when to go. Good evening, everyone. I would like to open with you with John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27, words of the Lord Jesus Christ on the night that he was to be arrested. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's seek for God's blessing. Lord our God, you have given us your word, and your word is a living word, and your word is a glorious word. And we pray that you will bless the unfolding of it tonight and the meditation upon it, and that you would seal your peace to our hearts. You know our need. Will you hear our prayer? For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, as you know, Jesus is talking here to his disciples, and they are anxious men and they are fearful men. We learn that already in verse 1 of John 14, when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And he said that because they were troubled, they were anxious, and they were afraid. And one of the reasons for that was the uncertainty of the time. There was rising tension all around. They knew that Jesus was the focus of increased hostility, that there was opposition towards him. And at the same time, he himself was speaking about his own suffering and his own death. And even in these very moments with his disciples, he was reflecting on his departure, how he would be leaving them. And so all of that together made them nervous, made them scared. How would they ever do without Jesus Christ? How could they live in this world anymore apart from him? Life was dangerous. Life even seemed empty. And we well understand that. Even in these days, life has perhaps never seemed so dangerous as in these past weeks and months. The virus we can think of, and of course all of the fallout of that, what happened with government decisions and economic failure, disruptions to everyday life, limitations in terms of medical care for other things, concerns about the food chain breaking even in North America, tensions around the world with China, Iran, and it really goes on. The world is dangerous, and the world also feels so empty, especially because we cannot come together and interact like we are so used to doing, and especially also because we cannot come together to worship the living God. Like Psalm 42 speaks about how we used to go with the multitude, with the voice of joy and gladness, and now we can no longer do so. And all of that can contribute to a sense of lament, a sense of something's missing, emptiness. Who doesn't know that and hasn't felt that? We can understand then the disciples in their feelings in these moments. But how wonderful and glorious that the Lord Jesus speaks into their life, including this word, "Peace I leave with you." Just this point is powerful and comforting. To know Jesus is to experience many blessings, not least of which is peace. He himself is the Prince of Peace, and one of his gifts, one of his chief gifts to his people is peace. And this word peace is a very rich word in the Bible. It has both negative and positive aspects to it. On the negative side, it means no more trouble, no more conflicts, no strife, no tension. On the positive side, it means rest and quiet and refreshment and satisfaction. Really, it means to be well in every way, in mind, in spirit, in body. Peace, says Jesus, peace I leave with you. Well, let's focus for a few moments on these words of Christ. Jesus gives his people peace. That's our theme. Jesus gives his people peace. And one thing to highlight right away is that it is his peace. Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." So he's not just giving any old peace. This is not just a general peace to you sort of salutation. No, Jesus is saying, "I am presenting you my peace." Peace that comes from him and through him. It is divine peace. And what exactly is it then, this peace that he gives? Well, he doesn't spell it out so much in these in these words, but in view of the whole Bible, we can have an understanding of it. This peace, it's really nothing short of peace with God and peace in our soul. Peace with God and peace in our soul. Now, by nature, we do not have peace with God. And by nature, we have no peace in our soul. By nature, we are at war with God, and we are anxious and restless in this world. But Jesus says, no, I have something for you that will make up for all of that, that will answer all of that. My peace. And that is because through him, everything changes. And we can think of this on multiple levels. Think of how Jesus Christ, through him and his suffering, think of how our sin debt is paid. Think of how through the Savior, we no longer have to pay for our sin. We no longer stand under the judgment of God. We're no longer deserving his wrath, but we enter into favor with him, and we may enjoy peace with our Creator. The great question of life needs to be how to become right with God. And in Jesus Christ, that question is answered. In the gospel, that question is answered. He is our peace. And so, in and through him, we enter into peace with the Lord. And then think of how through Jesus we have God for us and with us. How through Jesus Christ, God goes from being against us to being for us. And what is more, through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, God even comes to live in us. This is the great wonder that we may experience in the gospel. God far away from us, distant, separated from us, overcoming all of that, and even entering into us to dwell within us. One of the richest texts in this respect is in John 14, verse 23, a few verses before our text. If anyone loves me, Jesus says, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Imagine the triune God with us. But we don't have to imagine. We may experience it through Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. Just remember how this was one of the major concerns of the disciples. What do we do if Jesus leaves? When he leaves? How can we go on by ourselves? And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm leaving, but you won't be alone. The Comforter is coming. Another Helper is on his way. The Spirit of the Father and of the Son will come, and we will come in him. So you're not alone. Jesus makes sure we are never without the Lord. We can think, too, in terms of this peace, all the promises that God gives to us in Christ and seals to us in him, all the promises to do with saving and helping and keeping and guiding and blessing and refining and loving us. He'll take care of us. He promises that to us. No matter what happens, he will be present with us to provide for us, sustain us, uphold us, preserve us. Enable us. Christians live with the biggest and best promise book in all the world. And when we know those promises and when we live out of those promises, do they not give us great peace? Great peace have they who love thy law, we read in the Psalms, the Word of God. And then think also of how Jesus' peace, it's not just in terms of how through him we become right with God and at peace with God, and how through Jesus Christ we have God with us and for us and even in us. And all manner of promises to trust and to undergird our way through life. But think too how we have, in terms of the ultimate end for all the followers of Jesus, there is really no end but simply an entry into fullness of life in the new heaven and new earth together with the Lord himself. The ultimate end is but the start to an eternal existence in joy and in glory. Jesus refers to this earlier in the chapter when he says in very famous words now, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So all of this is the peace. It's peace in terms of our relationship with God. It's peace for our heart and soul, so that we may be calm and quiet and at rest in this life, knowing God Himself is for us and with us, and trusting all of His promises, and being sure that someday He will bring us even into His own glorious presence. This is the peace that's in view, and it is His peace. And you know why it is His peace. It is because He has known it from all eternity, and because He Himself will now purchase it for His people through the blood of His cross. He will purchase it through Him going without peace, Him going into sorrow and suffering and the judgment and the wrath of God. He will take all of that and more even than we can measure. And He will take it so that He can give us this peace. My peace, He says, because it is His peace. And He gives it. This is the second thing to mention. It's not simply His peace, but He gives it. He shares it and grants it and bestows it. And notice how He does so personally. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. He's so personal about this. And we know He's talking to His disciples and to them in the first place. To them He is giving this peace. But what He does for them, He does for all of His people. He Himself personally gives it to His people, His peace. How does He do it? Well, isn't it through His Word and by the power of His Holy Spirit as He blesses the Word of His peace to our souls? And just think about that then. Think about when we can confess to having peace with God and peace in our heart and peace through the promises and peace in all of life, even with whatever may be happening all around us. And we have this experience of peace. What is the reason for it? Well, it is ultimately this. Jesus, the living Savior, is ministering His peace to us. Through His Word and by His Spirit, He is pouring peace into our life and into our heart. It is His personal ministry. But think too, even more, in terms of the text, think how perfectly He gives it. Because this is what's in view when He makes a contrast between the way the world gives peace and the way He gives peace. And He's very clear, isn't He? Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So how does the world give peace? Well, it gives a superficial, a surface-type peace, and a temporary peace. That's all the world can do. It has no way of getting to peace with God. It has no way of settling peace deep in our hearts in a way that it can stay there and be really invincible there. The world can't do that. At the most, the world can give is this superficial, temporary, circumstance-bound, fleeting peace. Peace because everything is well in your life. Maybe you are healthy, or maybe you have a lot, and therefore you are at peace. But meanwhile, the moment you become sick, or the moment you lose the blessing of your wealth, at that moment your peace flies away. Think how we have seen that in the world at large in these last number of weeks. And it's very revealing, isn't it? As well as sad and heartbreaking. But it's the peace of the world. And it's not deep. And it can't last. And that's clear. Not as the world gives. Jesus gives altogether differently. Jesus' peace is perfect peace. Jesus' peace passes all understanding. It guards our hearts and minds. It is able to endure no matter the storms that come, the winds that blow, the chaos and the calamities of life that mount up. Nothing can touch this peace that Jesus gives. He doesn't give like the world. His peace is deeper and more powerful. It is peace that endures. And here in our text, He is giving it. To His disciples, He is giving it. They hardly know maybe what He is doing, but He knows their need better than they themselves. And already now He meets them and He ministers to them personally and perfectly. What a great Savior He is. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And I wonder, do you realize tonight that to you and me too, listening, Jesus is still giving this peace, like He did here, personally and perfectly. He's doing it still by way of this word. Yes, by way of this very word, he is meeting us in our need. Here's a word for our time, isn't it? Left to ourselves, we have no peace. Left to ourselves, we descend into fear and worry and alarm and anxiety. Left to ourselves, we are so restless. And to be sure, if we are sinning, if we are living in rebellion, then we have infinite reasons to be restless and to be terrified. Elsewhere, the Bible says there is no peace for the wicked, because there cannot be. Because there is no peace apart from Christ and coming to him and coming under him, submitting to him. And if anyone happens to be listening and you are not a Christian, and maybe you don't want to be, but if that's you, then you are in deep, deep trouble and you need to turn to the Lord now. And maybe you are here listening and you want to be a Christian, but you don't know how. Simply go on your knees in prayer to the Savior and ask him to save you. Ask him to deliver you and to make you his own, and he will. And then he will fill you with his peace. Yes, and that is what every Christian may experience. To you who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to you who follow him and seek to serve him and honor him, to you the Lord says tonight, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I am giving to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Jesus says that. And in that word, he is giving you peace. So it is his peace, and he gives it. And notice yet the point, because that really comes up in the last words of the text. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this is the point. In other words, this is what the Lord Jesus is getting to in terms of how he would have us to respond. So he has peace and he gives peace. And now what does that mean for us? Well, it means we're to live out that peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be so fearful and full of care. No, but live out the peace that Jesus pours into you. That's the point. That's what Jesus is after. That's how he would have his disciples respond, how he would have them to live. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we are to live out that peace that Jesus gives to us. You know what is important here is to notice that the gifts of Jesus come to us with a responsibility. The privilege includes a responsibility. The peace that he so richly gives to all his people, Jesus means for it to be used, to be reflected. Jesus means for his people to live in view of his gift. And that means we have a calling and a task. We can't just say, well, that's a nice gift, thank you, and then do nothing with it. That would be shameful. That would not honor him as the giver. And how does it help us even? Well, maybe you would say, who wouldn't use it? Who would put peace on a shelf? Well, I think I have done it various times in the last number of weeks. Jesus gives peace, but I don't always take it and live it. Maybe you too. Given into restlessness and anxiety instead of living in peace. But Jesus says, no, we're to respond to the gift of his peace, and we're to live out of that peace, and we're to manifest his perfect peace. Let not your heart be troubled. It's a comforting word. It's a directing word, an exhorting word. And so we are to say to ourselves, in view of the peace of God that we have received, we're to say, all right, no more living in fear. No more giving in to temptation to be passive and paralyzed. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what he tells me to do today. I'm going to honor him in this moment as he gives it to me now. And I'm going to do so calmly and quietly. When I hear scary things or when I enter into lonely times, I will say to myself, he has given me perfect peace. Don't be troubled, heart. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Isn't this the point? Isn't this taking the word of God and seeing it worked out in our life in a way that it begins to make a difference in a way that we begin to keep it. Not that it's always so easy. Not that we don't struggle. We do. I do. Just thinking of all that's going on, thinking of the rapid fire headlines, and sometimes it's best not to read or hear all the headlines, maybe. But it can be easy to be shaken. It can be easy to become fearful. Let the word of the Savior bring us back time after time. Let it be the means that Jesus himself can use in our life to remind us and to reinforce to us all that we have in him, all that he continues to give to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And by way of this word, then, he would guard our heart, and he would guard our mind, and we may have peace come what may, and Jesus will keep us in peace until the day he would usher us into his everlasting peace. Let's pray and ask God to bless this peace to our souls. O God of peace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is a God like you? And we give thanks once more for this word of Christ, when he was on his way to the cross, when there was so much on his mind, and yet he cared so for his disciples as to see them in their fear, to see them in their anxiety and restlessness, and to proclaim to them a word of comfort, a word of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And, O Lord, we confess that we too need this word. We too need this peace. We thank you for the peace that we may have in Jesus Christ. How through him and his suffering we may enter into peace with you, peace with our Maker, peace in view of all of our sins being covered by the Spirit that comes through the Holy Spirit living in us. We are not alone. We are never alone. But Father and Son, your Spirit makes his home in our life. We thank you for all the promises and for the way they feed and nourish our peace, that you will be our God to save us and to guide us, to bless us and keep us, never to leave us or to forsake us. And we thank you for the promise of everlasting life, that when these short years are finished, or whatever length of time we are given to live, you will bring all your people into eternal glory. And we pray, Lord, that in view of this hope also, we may have great peace in our souls. Indeed, will you give this peace to us, like you gave it to your disciples long ago, through the very words of this text, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak peace into our life. If we are particularly anxious, O Lord, listening and maybe for various reasons feeling afraid, feeling nervous, feeling tense, Lord, will you give grace to hear this word of peace? And will you settle the restlessness? And will you calm the fears? And will you give there to be quiet, calm, trust? We pray, Lord, that we may rejoice in the way you do this so personally. You are a personal Savior. And whoever comes to you, and everyone who comes to you, you will answer, you will receive, you will serve, and you will give peace. And not like the world. Your peace is perfect. Your peace passes all understanding. Your peace endures. Your peace guards our hearts and minds. Your peace isn't fleeting. Your peace isn't dependent on things being well here or not. Your peace is so much better, so much deeper, so much greater. We give thanks for it, Lord Jesus Christ, knowing too how it comes to us through all that you suffered, including no peace, when You were on your way to the cross, and when you hung there as the sin bearer, and when the wrath of man was poured out upon you, when the wrath of the devil was poured out upon you, and when the wrath of God was poured out upon you, there was no peace for you as the incarnate Son of God. And there you were suffering all of that for sinners such as us. O Lord Jesus, how can we thank you enough? How can we praise you? Help us ever to trust you and to serve you. And grant that in view of your word, in view of your gospel, we may live like you tell us to live. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No doubt some of us listening have learned this and know this very well, and we practice this. And others of us have to learn it and have to learn it more. And all of us, all our life, have to live it out, and we pray that you will give us grace to do so each and every day. And will you bless us, Lord, that we may also be then a witness to the world around us, a world that is not at peace, a world that tries to find peace in alcohol or in the things of this world or in maybe a turnaround. And we pray for a turnaround in the current situation, but we recognize that there will be other troubles. There will be other anxieties. This world is dangerous. This world is a broken. This world is a dying, cursed world. There can only be peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, bless our life and our testimony and our witness that others may see there is something different about you. What is it? And we may point to you as the God of our salvation, as the God in whom we have peace. Lord, we pray that you will bless our meditation, that you will bless our thoughts and reflection further, that your Holy Spirit may continue to apply your word. And even as we pray for that, we pray for mercy in our day, and we pray for deliverance from what is currently afflicting us. We pray for our government in all of their responsibilities, for wisdom, Lord, from on high, for those who must make decisions, for the well-being of the land. Give them, Lord, what they don't even know they lack, perhaps. And remember them, and remember those in hospitals. Remember those who are sick. Remember those who may be about to die. People are dying every day, entering into eternity. How many unsaved? O Lord, bless especially your gospel and all those who bring it, and grant that your word may run and be glorified, and that sinners may be saved far and wide. And O Prince of Peace, bring the day when you will come in all your glory, to make all things well, to make all things new. We pray for that. And we pray that you will hear us and help us further in this night. And bless us, though we don't deserve it, but for your own name's sake. Yes, for Jesus' sake. Amen.